¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Today is Wednesday. Do you know what Wednesday means? Anyone?
I know.
Anyone?
There's a show that is live about Smashville?
Yes. Smashville Live. Ding, ding, ding. Give Chase a piece of cake.
Thank you.
Oh, wait a minute. We've already done that.
We have.
This week, tonight, it'll be in East Nashville. Boom Boz, Craft Pizza, and Tap House. That is actually connected to Willie's house. That's located at 1003 Russell
it's not,
Street.
But it's close.
No? Oh, I thought it was
it's close.
You guys were actually attached. It's very close.
It's walkable.
The show is from 7 to 8. This week's guest will be the Grim Reaper, Stu Grimson. He's got huge hands and a big heart. He's a really good guy, but he's a large man. He can palm your head and pick you off the ground. That's going to be a lot of fun tonight from 7 until 8. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Speaking of vodka, let's bring in Chris Mason. He joins us every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. C-Mace, what's up?
Not too much. Just hanging out with the little guy. So you might hear some of that in the background.
So, Willie, why'd you look at me that way?
What do you think, Chris Mason? You think vodka?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I know something about your partner that you don't. Are you doing something on Friday around vodka?
I am.
Okay. So
There you go.
Yeah.
Explain.
It's this vodka company. They got these new bottles. It's called Medea. They've got these new electronic bottles where you can put any kind of message on it, and it's got the LED lights around it and all that kind of stuff. I think Matt Irwin is going to be with me, and Roman Yossi is a part of that company too. So we're just going to hang out at Frugal McDougal's and sign some stuff.
Doesn't he have to be in St. Louis?
Prior engagement?
Yeah, doesn't he have to be in St. Louis?
Well, he won't be. Roman won't be there, but I think he's involved with that company. So it'll be Matt Irwin and I.
Okay.
So if you guys are bored around 12 till 2, I don't know, maybe you guys can go on location there Friday.
Well, let's see, 12 to 2 on Friday. No, actually, I think we'll be busy. We'll be working.
Oh, that's right. Okay. But other people, listeners can.
Listeners can absolutely join.
Yeah.
So, Willie, why would you bring up vodka?
I didn't
Chris
know where you were going.
Why would you do that?
I'm glad you explained it because I just didn't know.
Yeah.
I learned something.
Trust me.
There's no reason
the trust?
There's no reason to.
Where's the trust?
Big trust.
Big trust.
whoop.
What do you think? Tell us the mindset of a player. You get to go away and literally recharge because this is it. When they come back from the break, it is green light go. There's going to be a lot of games.
Yeah. Well,
February,
you know,
March are the most games they're going to play in any 2 months this season.
Yeah. Well, I think, and I'm sure you guys have probably talked about this too, I really don't think the break could have come at a better time for this team. I know things were looking better with the coaching change and just the structure and those things, but just mentally I think this team has just been beat up over the first part of the season with everything that's going on, underachieving, the inconsistency, and then which led to the coaching change and then going through that, the Winter Classic, and just everything. It weighs you down. It's just that feeling. I think we could all kind of sense that on the ice with this team, that it just wasn't, just never really quite got to where you feel it should. You know, you come off a good game and then a couple of good games even, then it, you know, one thing would happen and then it would go back down the other way, and it was just a really weird first half. So I think for this break to come at a perfect time, you know, as a player, you're going to go get away from it, not think about hockey at all. You're going to you feel sore and tired the first couple of days, because as soon as you let your mind get out of that game in preparation mode, that's usually what happens. But there's enough time in this break to get through that. And then by the end of it, you ended off with a great game against Buffalo. The best part of the season coming up. You just come back really rejuvenated. And I think this team's going to really, I think, thrive in that underdog role. Everyone's going to be, you know, discounting the Nashville Predators. But this team's got a good opportunity to really put a couple nice streaks together. And like you said, they got a lot of games. And if they can turn it around, it's going to be a pretty fun ride.
We sort of laid this out yesterday, Mace. Hey, Fraser.
I'm running around the house trying to get rid of him. Chasing me around.
But
we can let him do the segment. That'd be cool.
You do not want to do that.
In a couple of years, maybe that could be an interesting thing. But but it's only been really five games under the system that John Hines is putting in. But do you think they've hit on a formula that they can win with? I think that's a key question going forward.
I really do. I think, to me, the way that this team is built, they need that structure. I think defensively, I think if you play this with the talent that they have, with the four-line deep team, especially once you get Ryan Ellis and Colton Sissons back, I think that this is a recipe for success. It'll give them a chance every night. Instead of getting into those 50-50 coin flip type of games where, yeah, they score four goals, but they're giving up four or five, or, you know, 4-3, whatever the case may be, I think this will give them more of an opportunity to play those 3-2, 2-1 type hockey games and have good success in winning those games instead of, you know, the roller coaster, I think, that we saw in the first half of the season. It's, you can go ahead and you can look at it the season and say, hey, you know what, we're scoring a bunch of goals, but, you know, defensively we gotta tighten things up. I think the way that John Hines has his system in place, I think you're going to see the defense really shore down, the goals against come down. If you cut up, put a line in the sand, you know, from when Hines took over, that goals against average is going to go down compared to the first part of the season. The goals for may go down, but I think it'll give them a better chance at the end of the day to win hockey games.
I think I know the answer to this question because you've discussed this, but we laid this out there yesterday. Just being frank, it is really hard to make the playoffs if both of your goalies are under a 900 save percentage, and it's very un-Pekarine and UC Soros-like. But I think what I'm hearing you say, too, is this system might help them come around to where the numbers will be better, and I think they would both tell you they can probably play better than they played.
Yeah, well, there's no question, and I think that, you know, it just the way that the guys are playing, and, you know, I want to make clear, too, I think we've said this before, you know, none of this is bashing what Peter Laviolette's done. They had great success with the way that, you know, he implemented his systems. I felt like maybe it just ran its course, but the guys, I think we could see, aside from maybe the Anaheim game, which was a clunker, they're not seeing the frequency of grade A opportunities. There's not as many breakdowns. There's not as many teams coming back in the transition, getting odd man rushes. The types of shots that Saros and Pekka are seeing are going to give them a much better chance to succeed. And as a goaltender, you know, you can have the best goaltenders in the world, but at the end of the day, the separation between the guys isn't that much, and you are a product of your environment. So if you're on a team and you're whoever you think the best goalie in the world is playing on a team that's given up grade A opportunities, I don't care how good you are, you're not going to have good numbers. And I think that's kind of both of the guys, like you said, Willie, probably admit they could have played a lot better at certain points in the season, but their numbers are also a reflection of you know, the product in front of them. And I think defensively the team just hasn't been to the standard that they should be, and I think moving forward, I think this team, that's a major focus, so I expect them to be much better defensively. The games are going to get a lot tighter, more physical, more playoff-like, so I think this team is trending in the right direction.
There's a big unknown as to when Ryan Ellis will come back. There's some good signs that Colton Sissons will be back when they start play, but the other key stat would appear to be they've got to get a lot better in the penalty kill, specifically power play as well. But I wonder, too, this break, just stepping away, clearing your mind and maybe hitting the reset button to where you don't have that snowball effect of, oh, wow, we gave up two power play goals the other day, and now we're coming back out here and we got to face the Jets or whoever it is. Maybe that can help restart and lead to better, because that has to be better. They cannot make the playoffs as they continue on 31st in the penalty kill.
No, they absolutely can't. You can't have, you know, your special teams, if they're not going to, you know, make a positive impact on the game, if you're not going to, you can't let it kill you or hurt you. And I think this year that the penalty kill has definitely been a sore spot. It's really cost them a lot of hockey games and a lot of points. And, you know, you think of the fine line between making playoffs or, you know, moving up spots and winning the Central Division, you're talking about 3-4 hockey games, 8 points, 6 points difference in a season. And I think their penalty kill has at least cost them that in some games where they've really just got exploited, and just it seems like they just had no confidence. But I think, like you said, Willie, that's another reason why this break, because you can just start all over. You've got the fresh start before the break with a new coach. They're starting to learn how he wants things done in terms of the defensive zone, the forecheck, the neutral zone. The penalty kill is obviously a big one, the power play. So I think coming back, this is going to be a team that's, to me, as a player, I'm getting energized just thinking about it, to feel like the weight's been lifted off. You had the break. You don't have that, you know, disappointing game 2 days ago that you gave up two penalty kill goals against, and then you know the next time something goes wrong, that snowball effect takes over again. This is an opportunity for this team to come back with a completely different mindset, and you can almost, you know, start confident instead of the way that that team seemed against Anaheim. And I thought that Buffalo game, that was huge. To go into the break with that game, coming back with that mindset of just playing the type of game, the type of hockey that they want to play, I mean, that's a huge thing for this team to look back on and to start the second half.
Chris Mason is with us, Predators broadcaster. And, you know, one thing that we've discussed, Mace, is David Poile calling out, you know, the players that they need to play better, and that's something that has been brought up time and time again. But I'm curious, from the standpoint of you guys in the locker room, how do you address that when the coaches aren't around, the media aren't around, it's just the players, and, you know, everybody kind of looks at it and goes, there are some guys in here that need to step up. It does it take one person standing up and, you know, calling them out, or is it a discussion? How does that take place?
Well, you know, those are kind of periodic things. I think, you know, a lot of guys will tell you, I mean, you're your own worst critic. And I think, you know, as we can all look and analyze seasons and pick guys that you feel should be, you know, getting more production, Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, whoever you want to pick, you know, there's a lot of culprits, I think, this year for the team, especially in the top six, that need to be better if this team wants to make the playoffs and you know, do something this season. But, you know, it's a lot of it, I think, you know, and I really like listening to John Hines, and even when Peter was here too, it wasn't that they don't have the talent or that it's some of the play, it's that effort. It's the way that you play the game. It's the desire that you play it with, you know, that kind of relentless pursuit and the attack. And I think that this season, it hasn't been there all the time. And that's, we all know, I mean, this team on paper, this is one of the best rosters in the Western Conference, in the National Hockey League, top to bottom. But if you don't play that way, if you think that, you know, you're going to play, you know, you're playing Anaheim and you can play with your, you know, your B game or whatever to get by because, you know, you look at their roster and, well, you should win if you play half decent. It doesn't work like that. And I feel there's been too many of those games against some of those types of opponents where the guys just really weren't ready to go and just didn't really put in, you know, the commitment or the preparation to play that A game against a, you know, a C team or whatever. So I think the mentality and the way that these guys play is the biggest factor in the outcomes. And I think when they do that, when Ryan Johansson's engaged, you know, every time playoffs comes around, he's one of the best players. He's emotionally engaged. He's big. He's strong. He can, you know, he can defend well. And offensively, obviously, he's a very talented guy, but you have to be emotionally engaged, I think. And that's top to bottom. You can't just have two or three guys a night. You need that entire roster to do it in order to have success.
Catherine on Twitter wants Fraser's breakdown of the goalies.
Of the goalies? Yeah. Well, he was just running around on the deck with his hockey stick saying, hockey, hockey, and he's beating up this little tricycle thing. So,
hey, he's going to be a goal scorer.
I hope so. I sure hope so. I'm keeping the goalie gear away from him.
Good stuff as always. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, hey, thanks, guys.
Chris Mason every Wednesday at 1 o'clock and family. We appreciate him joining us. We will come back. There has been a ruling on at least one player for Kansas. We'll tell you who that is and what happened to him. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talked at the beginning of the show about what happened in Lawrence, Kansas last night. The ending of the Kansas-Kansas State game. The Jayhawks cruised to a victory, but things got really, really ugly at the end of the game. A bench-clearing brawl. Big 12 SEC, they meet this weekend, which is something they've been doing now for many, many years, and I think it's been a lot of fun. It's been a good – I think it's been a successful – marriage, you know, kind of stepping away as they just start conference play. They get, what, 3-4 games in, and then they step away for a weekend, and they have the Big 12 SEC Challenge. And Tennessee, ironically, goes to Allen Fieldhouse, and they play Kansas on Saturday at 3 o'clock. And it looks like Silvio D'Souza is out and suspended indefinitely. So there's been one ruling. I don't know. Elijah, have you seen anything else?
Nothing else as of now, but I know there's more punishment for some of the players who left the bench. That's expected to be announced today as well.
Yeah.
Well, and Bill Self seems to be taking care of a lot of things too in his squad. I mean, he had said that he was going to be handing down stuff. So
I think he is the one that gave the suspension so far.
Right.
But I think what happens a lot of times, the league office will look at all of the camera angles, right? We saw pretty much one shot last night, and it's hard to tell exactly who's who and who's doing what, at least for everybody, right? There's a lot more going on than you can really see clearly, but there will probably be some other angles that maybe the ESPN trucks have, maybe somebody, maybe the teams have with their own video, and hopefully that will allow the league to make an accurate assessment, specifically on something like who left the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can assume that almost everybody left the bench, but you don't really see it. You can see the Kansas State bench.
Well, because you're focusing on what's really going on. There's punches being thrown and chairs being picked up, and so you immediately, your eyes go to that as opposed to seeing who's coming from where. You're just focused right underneath the basket. Silvio is lucky that somebody grabbed that chair. Because if he actually throws it or swings it, his college career is probably over, at least at a Division I level, I would think.
There are some that were calling for him to be done anyway last night. I don't know. That might have been a little in-the-moment overreaction. Like, for example, the leaving the bench. Everybody left, right? Let's say they pan back and there's two guys sitting on the bench. How's that going to look? You know, that's doing the right thing, per se, but, you know, their teammates are like, hey, where were you guys? You know, that's just the natural thing. That's a tough one, but that's the rule, right? If everybody knows the rules, and they do, then both teams should have stayed on the bench, and they're going to have to pay the piper here in terms of that. And then there's going to be the breakdown of, okay, what was happening underneath, like, where was the guy that we couldn't see that the other guy comes over and stands over and looks like he's about to stomp on him? What was going on there? There's just a lot of detective work and research, not research, but you have to really meticulously go through the tape to find everything there.
Well, and I hope they take the time to do it, because
going to take the time to do it. And then you have to decide, what is that worth? How many games for this guy? How many games for that guy? How many games for you know, what about the coaches? Like, what happens?
Well, I mean, I think with Bill Self taking care of a lot of this, that's a good look, you know, that he's policing his, you know, his players. And I also think, have you noticed too, in a lot of punishments, whether it's college or pro, we have this indefinite suspension because it buys you time. You know, it's like he's suspended indefinitely, meaning we'll decide when it's done.
I think that's more of a PR move to get
sure,
out ahead
but
of it.
But I think it works. I don't think it's – I mean, it could be a PR move. You can look at it however you want, but I think it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I think it works.
This is another thing I thought of. There was a lot of talk. Doesn't matter. I think Seth Greenberg said this. Dick Vitale sort of echoed it. Doesn't matter the discussion of what started it. And up to a point, I completely agree. Right? Regardless of what led up to it, it never should have gotten to that. That was ridiculous. But I do think it's worth mentioning that when we have these discussions, like we did with Saban Lee earlier in the season, where nothing really came out of it other than a little jawing back and forth between the coaches, right? Where Saban Lee dunked a ball with the shot clock off. And I said the next day, I remember example, Kentucky was here. It was John Pelfrey. There was some jawing back and forth between our players. Our captain, specifically our co-captain, Kevin Anglin, got in John Pelfrey's face and said that was wrong. You know, that's why we have that discussion, is because that's what it could lead to. When we talked about the Juwan Jennings situation on the sideline, why is it important for the league to react? Because that's how these brawls start. You don't want to have it happen, and the kids should be good enough to not have it happen, and most of the time it doesn't get to that. But that's why these things have to be discussed and dealt with. You cannot...
If Vanderbilt comes running across the field...
Yes, then what happens?
You've got chaos. You've got an absolute mess on your hand. Luckily, it did happen, but...
When a guy goes over and stomps on your logo in the pregame warm-up like they did, you know, I don't know how many times, Miami... Or the Clemson, South Carolina. I can't remember what triggered that thing.
Georgia, Florida.
That's why you don't do stuff like that. So it's not irrelevant to bring up, okay, how did it start? Well, yeah, a guy stole a ball when he shouldn't have stolen it. And then you don't taunt a guy when you block a shot. It's just that's why you don't do those things. Because it could lead to this. Right, so it's not 100%. I don't agree 100% with the people who go, it doesn't even matter what led. I don't care what happened. To a point, I agree. But it's a lesson to be learned in when you're competing against one another. That's why there's a flag thrown when you taunt somebody. Right, because that's what leads to this. Yeah. That's my opinion, anyway.
No, I agree. I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I think they need to investigate everything.
If there's ever a time for Tennessee to play Kansas at their place,
it's this weekend.
It's probably Saturday. I mean, the timing could not be any better for Rick Barnes.
And Alabama gets Kansas State, who's already not very good, and now they got all this problem.
You're right. And Alabama's here tonight.
Yep.
Alabama is here tonight.
In a double, aren't they like a 9 or 10 point favorite?
Well, if you look at the KenPom. Win probability for Vanderbilt, it's not good. I was having this discussion earlier today. Who has more talent? Last year's team for Vanderbilt without Darius Garland, or this year's team in their current state without Cleavon Brown and without Aaron Nesmith? To me, it's not even close. Last year's team had Yanni Wentzel, who I watched play last night. He plays for undefeated San Diego State. Now, he's better this year than he was last year. You had Matt Ryan. You still had a freshman, Aaron Nesmith. That team would be favored by 10 points, I think, over this year's team. So this team is really going to have to fight and claw and scratch. Now, where they can maybe come out ahead long term, because it's going to be ugly. Let's be honest. There's going to be some nights where they just don't have the horses to win. Can they stick together? Can Jerry Stackhouse get the most out of them, even if it means they win one game or two games? I don't know what that ceiling is going to be, but it's going to be very interesting to watch how this team reacts, because they got some battles they have to fight now They're just getting started. What, did they play three league games? Four? Got a long way to go. Those practices aren't going to be a whole lot of fun to come to sometimes.
They're not going to go over
but can
again,
they
right?
Look at the win probability they have.
But the league
it's
is
not good.
Down. It's way down.
But so are they.
Yeah.
We just got done saying.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's thin.
Yeah,
it
this
is
team
very
is definitely
thin.
Is worse than last year's team.
So, and then the question will be, can Jerry Stackhouse, does he stay committed and say, you know what, I'm going to be better having gone through this. I'm going to stick it out. Or does he have to say, wow, what did I get myself into? I mean, both would be
right.
Paths you could go in. This will be really interesting to watch.
Well, that would be a blow to Malcolm Turner if that happened. If after a season he's like, I'm going back to the pros.
I don't see that happening, but
no.
I do wonder what path this goes down because it's gonna be a huge rebuild, right?
Right, but
next
did
year,
any...
what does it look like next year? Neesmith will probably get drafted in the first round. You're going to come back with a very young team next year.
Have Pippen back, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, who knows who decides to transfer and all that stuff, but you have a core of freshmen that you're trying to build around right now with Pippen and a couple other guys.
But did anyone really expect it to be much better than it was last year?
I think with Neesmith and underrated Cleavon Brown, who was a serviceable SEC player, I think they were going to be very competitive. If you saw their game against Auburn, I don't think that was a total fluke. I think they snuck up on them a little bit, but I saw a team that could win and that was playing together, that had some good energy going. Not that they were going to light the league on fire by any stretch, but it was going to be a lot better than last year. This was a very demoralizing blow to have happen there.
Pete Thamel just tweeted out that, according to his sources, Mississippi State is expected to hire Zach Arnett as their defensive coordinator. He recently just took the Syracuse defensive coordinator job.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
I guess he learned his defense under Rocky Long. He must have been with Rocky Long's staff for a good while. So that's what Pete Thamel is putting out there. Mississippi State maybe have found their new defensive coordinator, which, by the way, where is Shoup? Has he found another spot? A landing spot?
I believe he's available.
Yeah. I'll have to look into that. All right, we'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh,
had a little Doors theme.
I like it
today.
Why.
I love it.
Show me the way to the next
question is, now that the Titans are officially in their offseason, who's going to be hitting the door? And who's going to be coming back through the door? We've had some really good discussions these 3 days this week. And I would not want to be John Robinson. I am not envious of his job this offseason. That's a good thing, though. Because when you have tough decisions, that means good things are happening.
Right.
How many off seasons have we been sitting here going, well, where do you want to start? Where should they start? Well, where do you want to start? Give me a position. They probably need somebody there. And that's the conversations we used to have. Now, he's down in Mobile right now, and the question is, how are they going to go about tackling that? The quarterback thing, that's what's interesting. By the way, Tim, something we didn't even touch on in talking about the whole quarterback situation, he said that is priority number one. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, I think it has
that,
to be.
That has to be priority number one?
I know it's very easy to say Derrick Henry should be priority number one, but the quarterback being the most important position on the team, and this thing changed so much when Tannehill took over, I believe that the quarterback has to be priority one. Now, you can make the argument that Derrick Henry's, 1B.
I would hope that you could sort of do your diligence equally among the two. And the other thing that they have going, that John Robinson has, is the tags, right, the two tags, which we learned more about yesterday through Joel Corey, that if you had to, you could slap one tag on one on the other if it's not going well. I was looking at the timeline here, too. The scouting combine is February 24th to March 2nd. The first day that you could designate a franchise or transition player is February 25th, right as the combine is going on. March 10th is the last day you can designate. So you have from February 25th to March 10th in that window to use those tags if you're going to use them. And then
and even
about
if you
a week
designate,
later is when free agency starts.
But even if you designate a tag, you can still negotiate.
Yes, it just buys you time.
Right.
So if you could get even one of them done right before that, that would be great.
Okay, how do you guys feel? Do you feel like before March 10th, before the tag period ends, do you think one of the two are signed?
I would be pleasantly surprised. My guess would be no, because I think they're both very complicated cases. Agree?
I'm going to say no.
You don't think either?
I'm with you. I'm going to say no.
I think
it's an interesting question.
My guess is there'll be some tags slapped in there.
Do you think that some of these other guys that we've talked about, Jack Conklin, Logan Ryan, Kamalai Correa is on this list, do you think that they sign one of them before taking care of Tannehill and Henry?
Correa is in a different category. It wouldn't surprise me if you could get somebody like a Correa. If
some
you could,
of the lower,
maybe there's four or five guys. You're like, you know what? I'm gonna take a shot. I'm gonna give you a shot right now for the security. Take this deal right now. I can get you in my budget. We want you. You fit well. I would have to imagine maybe there's some of that. But I think with Ryan and Conklin, they have a lot more leverage than that. So if they can, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But I think it would be more of a team-friendly deal that they would have to sign. I keep coming back to something that I discuss that never gets discussed ever in NFL circles is can you convince some of these guys that because your money goes further in Nashville, it's worth it to you to take a team-friendly deal? Never seems to get discussed. Never seems to even get proposed. I don't know.
That's something that used to happen back in the day. You know, you had guys that would take the hometown discount a little less because of Nashville.
They want to
stay
Titans?
Here. Yeah.
Who?
I can't remember names off my hand, but didn't Floyd negotiate a few of those?
I think back then it was much more of the restructure,
give
you more guaranteed money.
That's true.
Push the pile back.
That was also a very different time.
It was
a
little different
CBA.
Way that they went about it. Yeah, different CBA. I don't know if it was the hometown discount. I do think people wanted to stay.
Yeah.
Right? But I think there was something in it for them, too. I don't think they were taking less money. On paper, you'd be taking a little less money, maybe in some cases. But in exchange for that, you know your money's going further. You know you're going to stay. And you know your team has a chance to keep as many of these guys under the same roof to take another crack at it next year.
The biggest difference is they're not guaranteed contracts. When you say you don't hear anybody talk about it, there's a reason, because how many times have we talked about the no trade clause in the NHL and why that's so important to the player? Because, and we understand because we've talked about it, because in Texas, in Florida, in Tennessee, whenever you get to use that selling point to your advantage, then the player's agent gets to turn around and say, well, that's great, but how do I know you're not going to turn around and trade my client to California or to New York or somewhere else that's way more expensive to live, and therefore this deal isn't that great? It's only great if you get to stay in those states.
Right. Now, you don't have the guaranteed money,
well, the NFL,
but you're
you
probably
don't have
not
that.
Going to be traded, right? There's not a lot of trades.
Yeah, but the point is, the reason it's probably not discussed as much is because you don't have – there's much more guarantee of a shelf life with a guaranteed contract, especially a big one, than an NFL contract, which we've talked about, is sometimes barely worth the paper that it's written on.
Beyond the guaranteed
money. It's
gotten
better.
Good point.
It's gotten better over the years. The guaranteed money is the only number they need to see. And really, that's the only thing that's important, is the guaranteed money.
Right.
If they were guaranteed contracts, now, there's nothing that says you NFL can't teams talking
it.
About them more.
There's nothing that says you can't guarantee. What if I guaranteed you a hometown discount? 2 years. I can guarantee it if I'm John Robinson at the price I want. You get that security. You get the money.
Yeah, but
even
isn't
if
a player going to
get the money?
Isn't a player going to get? I mean, you're going to get.
The problem is
certain,
if that guy gets hurt.
If
you're
a free agent,
get hurt, you're out.
You're going to get certain. You're going to get guarantees anyway. So I mean, is it really a perk? Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to
depend.
Somebody has to give you guarantees to get you to sign with them. So is it really? Are you really?
But it could be in a state where you're going to pay a lot more that money in taxes. That's the trade-off.
Right.
If you're living,
but
you're here.
What if they're offering? But they may be offering more.
They might be. Yeah. This is the game. This is the dance you got to do.
Do you guys ever see a day where the NFL goes to fully guaranteed contracts like other sports?
Nope.
Not unless you're willing to sit out a year.
Nope.
Think they'd have to. That's what they'd have to do. I think.
I don't think it would be good for the sport.
Yeah. No. I mean,
I understand the players. I get it. But you're just going to have to get it in your guaranteed money. But you know, you sign a guy. Just think about all the guys that we talk about. What if they had 5 years guaranteed? Guaranteed. Mm. And they're banged and they're hurt.
Yeah,
and maybe it's something.
Most players are not the same player 5 years after.
Right.
In year five of a contract as opposed to year one.
How
changes too much.
Much you could strap and cripple franchises with bad contracts.
Yeah.
If you had a lousy front office and a bad GM. Woo, and you got a bunch of injured guys on guaranteed contracts that still have 3 more years, you are crushing that franchise.
Yeah. It wouldn't work.
How do you get out from underneath that? You can't.
You can't.
So I don't think it'd be good for the sport. Just because of the risk. The risk factor is so high. You're just going to have to get it in your money.
And it doesn't. Your risk outweighs the reward.
Your guaranteed money. That's really the only recourse you have. And let's be honest. It's not like these guys are, buying things on Groupon.
Yeah, I mean,
they're getting rich.
Since 93 or whenever it was that free agency really became what it is today, I mean, I think it's worked out.
I don't think we've seen any of them at Crystal.
No.
Having to take their family to dinner because that's all they could afford, even though Crystal may be going away. Because they filed for bankruptcy.
Crystal did?
They did.
Yeah.
Well, there's been some players that have filed for bankruptcy.
Yes, there have.
That happens.
Not being very smart with the money. And, listen, I don't get me on this soapbox again, but most players in the league are done playing by the time they're 26 or 27. Hope you save some. Hope you've been smart with what you've done or have your plan for the next phase of your life, because it's coming whether you like it or not.
Hope Antonio Brown's been saving his money because he's not getting a job. Not in the NFL.
Supposedly he's locked himself in his house.
That's the latest. Police have been in his residence the last 2 days again.
I don't want to.
You should be burying me for my say. Maybe they should explore the freezing cold takes.
Look, here's
me
the
last
thing.
Year. Maybe they should take a look at.
It's so weird right now. Like you wonder, is something going on?
I mean,
honestly, is there something like really?
I'm not trying to.
It's bad.
I'm not trying to go down this road necessarily, but this is getting to a point where I'm really worried how this is going to end.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is there something way deeper than just ego?
Yeah.
And,
you guys have watched the Aaron Hernandez. It just the CTE is a big thing.
Right.
I mean, nobody knew at the time, but they studied his brain. He had bad CTE in retrospect. So who knows how many other players, whether it's Brown or others, might be walking around with that. They're trying to deal with that issue as we speak today. They're trying to live with that issue. They don't know that they have it. They don't know that they don't have it.
Back to wrap up Wednesday's show next.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend. Of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end, no saying.
to ask you guys this.
This is the end? Wait, we still have three minutes.
No, it's the end.
We have 3 minutes.
It's close.
This song is a lot longer than 3 minutes, by the way.
It is.
It's like 10.
Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet will join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock. But here is a Sportsnet stat. Can you guys name the player who changed teams in the offseason who has the most goals this year on his new team?
The player who changed teams last year?
Who is the player that changed teams that has the most goals to this point in the season with his new team?
Got to be James Neal.
James Neal is Willie's guess. Who's your guess?
Well, that was going to be my guess.
Why did you say it before Willie then?
Because I don't know.
James, well.
I mean.
But that includes free agents too?
No.
Or is it just trade?
New teams. Okay. A player on a new team. Just however you get them.
I just thought of another one, but I'm not. I've already made my guess, so I can't.
Artemi Panarin?
Yeah, I thought of Panarin right after I said
it. You were thinking of that one too?
Yeah.
Just Elijah beat you to it.
We'll never know. We can't read his mind.
I was going to say that one too. Dang it, Elijah. Jeez. Panarin.
Yeah.
26 goals.
Okay.
26 goals.
He's pretty good.
James Neal.
They're paying for him well.
19 goals. 19 goals. Kadri with the Avalanche, 17 goals.
Nazem.
Miller with the Canucks. The Canucks all had 17 goals.
He has had a nice year.
Yes, he has. And then with the Panthers, Siri, is that right?
Noel Achari.
Achari.
Now that one is a little bit of a surprise.
Achari, I don't know.
He's had
18 goals.
He's had two hat-tricks.
The reason I said that, and I should know that because I watched the Panthers in Joel Quenneville beat the Blackhawks last night.
Thanks, Coach Q.
Yeah.
That was nice.
You think he enjoyed that one in the United Center?
Frank Vatrano had a hat-trick last night. That team can score.
That team's not dull. No. They're not.
They're all of a sudden becoming more and more relevant.
They seem to be getting better.
Yes. By the way, the Panthers did the Predators a favor. They swept Minnesota and Chicago in regulation.
Yes, they did.
So that helped the Predators. The Jets have hit a little skid here. They lost last night in Carolina. And Vegas had a lead in the third period against the Bruins and couldn't hang on. They lost in regulation. So every little bit helps. Now, tonight, three teams could win. That, I mean, you're going to play that game the rest of the time, but the scoreboard watching is going to start increasing here over the next few months.
Yeah, I mean, you have to.
Somebody's going to win. Like, you got to take care of your own business. You're not going to, especially where they are, but it is nice when you have a night like that. Gives you a little bit of hope. A little extra hope.
Yeah, a little bit more time off for the Preds. Hope they're enjoying their islands. Not all of them are at warm places. Some of them are at cold places.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah.
What about medium places?
What is a medium place exactly?
I don't know.
Give me an example. I mean,
could, 50 degrees somewhere?
You could classify Nashville as that.
I was
one day
Nashville's medium. Matt Irwin, as we've learned, is he in Nashville?
He's in Nashville.
He's going to an event on Friday. Yeah.
Apparently.
He'll be back Friday.
So maybe he's at a medium place.
I guess they have to. I don't know. When are they allowed to? It's the All-Star break, so that's weird. Like, do they? I didn't. You asked me this the other day.
They're not doing anything on Monday. Yeah, they're not doing anything.
They're just showing up to play on Monday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. I think Toronto is too.
I think they'll have a morning skate.
Yeah. I think honestly, let's
dive right back
in. I think both teams, they're getting back, because remember, they pair everybody up,
sure,
is going to be hitting the ice Monday morning.
Nice.
All right. Have a great rest of your day. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Stay tuned. Jared and the GM is next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.